give us an upchuck with you. We'll give us an upchuck. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of life, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountains till the break of dawn, the dawn, and into the light of perfect day. It will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed, yonder in glory when the crown is won, is won. For Jesus is now the star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Star of Bethlehem, shine on, shine on.
I just want to say, we were talking about the beautiful star of Bethlehem, and Gary did this morning, Joy to the World. And we think we sing that a lot at Christmas time, Joy to the World, and it is a Christmas song because it talks about the birth of the Savior. But it's also, I think I read one time where it was originally written for the second coming of Jesus, whenever he comes to rule and reign forever. And so when we think about Joy to the World, it's a special time at Christmas time, but it's also, we have to look forward to that joy to the world whenever he comes again.
Praise the Lord. Good morning again. Thank you all for this, the singing, everything. Does anyone have anything on your heart? If you have your Bibles this morning and you want to turn with me, it'll be in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. I'm so thankful for that beautiful star that we have, aren't you, this morning? Praise the Lord. You find your place in Matthew chapter 2, if you would stand with me. The message will come out of verses 5 and 6, but I want to start reading at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them that were where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired them diligently what time the star appeared. Let's pray. Father, we come to you again, and Lord, we're so thankful to be able to call upon you. And Father, we're thankful for this beautiful star. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have. And Father, I ask you right now that you would touch the old preacher boy and clear my mind. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Illuminate my thinking, touch my vocabulary. Anoint the old preacher boy. Forgive me, cleanse me. God, we just pray that you would magnify yourself. Bring glory and honor to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Wise Men Who Missed the Savior. And we're real familiar with this passage. We're familiar with the wise men. They come from the east, and they came to Jerusalem. You notice they didn't come to Bethlehem. They thought if a king's going to be born, he'd be born where everything was happening. So they went to Jerusalem, but we're familiar with this. They followed the star. They brought gifts. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Of course, the goal for royalty. Jesus is, the Bible called him the governor. He's the ruler. The frankincense is the incense offering. They would burn frankincense to go up. So we see his priestly here, and also his humanity of the myrrh and the death. So we see these, and they went first to Jerusalem and called Herod. But I want to look and focus this morning on another group of wise men here that we don't talk about a whole lot. And here in verse 4, that is said, "And when he had gathered the chief priest and scribes of the people together." And these were the priest here was not just the high priest, he was probably included in this, but it was anyone that had took up that office, and probably the leaders. And if you go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 24, you see David broke the priesthood up into 24 courses. And this was probably those 24 courses, they were probably involved in this. And then, of course, the scribes, they were the teachers. They're the ones that wrote out the letters. They studied the word. They taught the word, and folks depended on them. So this is the group of wise men that the king called. When the wise men came from the east, they knew a lot. They were in astrology and different things. But I want to focus on these here this morning. And when he called these, He called them in as temporary wise men, I guess you could say, and called them in and wanted to ask them about this. And first of all, I want us to think about, see, when he called these men, they knew the location, but did not know that the Lord had come. They could tell in verse 5 that he said, "And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." And we see right off the bat, they said in Bethlehem of Judea. See, they knew about the location. They could tell you about the Lord. They could tell you where he was coming. But they didn't believe it. And, you know, so often, and if we're not real careful, we'll get caught up and we'll get caught up in the work of the Lord and we'll forget about the Lord of the work. And we'll get so wound up about things and getting everything just exactly right, and we miss what the Lord is doing in all this. See, they knew the location, but they missed the incarnation. They missed what it was all about. And see, then they would doubt Christ's deity all their lives. And see, they would be the thorns in his side. They would be what he would fight against him. And he probably had more stronger words against this group of fellas than anybody. Jesus' words of his whole ministry. They was a thorn in his side, and they were actually behind getting a thorn put on his head. You know, they're like many today. You know, a lot of folks today will give Jesus credit for being a good man. They'll talk about him being a great teacher. They'll talk about his wonderful philosophy, how good he was, everything that he did. Some will even go as far to speak of him as a prophet. And you can say all this and still come short of salvation. He was a good teacher. He was a good man. But that ain't what he was. He did these things, and this is kind of some of his characteristics, but boy, it sure wasn't who he was. He is far greater than a prophet. He is far greater than a good teacher. He is far greater than a healer. He is far greater than any kind of words we could put on, but there's a word that has to be put in when you talk about Jesus. You've got to add the word Savior. You got to add, that is who he is. His son to you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. I tell you what, that makes me want to preach right there, Brother Harold. I could just haul on and preach right there for a little bit. I'm going to have to carry on. But I tell you, I'm so glad that we have a Savior. I'm so glad he came as a babe in the manger. I'm so glad he was a good man. I'm so glad he was a good teacher. I'm so glad he's a great prophet. I'm so glad he came out of the tribe of Judah and the lineage of David. All of these things I like, but glory, hallelujah. I like it when he said he's my Savior. And he took the sins of mine, of all of my sins, and he took them and carried them and nailed them to the cross. And glory, hallelujah, I don't have to answer for them anymore. Woo, glory. I like the tag Savior. See, if you go to Acts chapter 16, verse 31, and a familiar passage when Paul and Silas was put in prison for preaching the gospel in Philippi. He said, the jailer came and said, "Sirs, what must we do to be saved?" And they said in 16:31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." See, that's who he is this morning. He came that we could have a Savior. He came that we could be saved. And this morning during Sunday school class and during the songs, and I have just bubbled up about like Gary and just thinking of the things of Jesus. And what Christmas, and we get all wound up, but it comes right down to God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I'm not going to preach last week's message again, but I tell you, it's still relevant, isn't it? And He loved mankind so much that He sent Him as a babe in a manger. Our sacrifice. And if you are saved this morning and on your way to heaven, He gets all the credit. You can't credit the preacher that was preaching the night you got saved. You appreciate him, but he don't get no credit. You can't get credit for the song that was picked when they played the invitation. Boy, they do a good job, and I appreciate them, but that ain't what does it. The church that you got saved in didn't do it. It was that Holy Spirit of God that moved upon your heart and said, you know, you're going to go to hell. You come to the realization that you said, you without Jesus, I am not going to make it to heaven. And then all the glory goes to Him, and He came as a babe in a manger. And that is what we're celebrating. As Lana says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Amen. Is that not the greatest show ever made? I had someone a few weeks ago said they'd never seen that movie. I said, that show. I said, what? I got on my phone and pulled up right then. Linus standing up telling that. Well, I'm glad for that now, aren't you? But it's all about Jesus. These guys did not know they knew the location, but they didn't believe the Lord had come. And not only that, they knew the Scriptures, but did not find a Savior. See, these were the wisest men, supposedly, of the Word. These guys had been years and years and trained and come up and studied. The scribes didn't do anything. Probably most of their life was spent studying the Scriptures, knowing the Word of God, digging in and getting these things and knowing all about it. And they knew the Scriptures in verse 6, but they didn't know the Savior. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. See, they immediately, when Herod asked them the question, they immediately went to the Bible. They were very acquainted with Micah 5:2. The Bible says in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth to me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. They knew the Scripture. They were acquainted, knew exactly where to take them, what verse it is. Can I say, just because you can quote John 3:16, don't make you a Christian. Amen. You might know all the stories of Jonah and the whale. You might know all about David and Goliath. You may know all about Daniel and the three Hebrew children. You may be able to go through the chronology of Israel and come right on through the minor prophets and right on through into the New Testament and can tell the birth and you know it like the back of your hand. You've heard it all your life. But just because you know the verses don't mean you know the Savior. And just because that we was brought up in church, and just because that mama and daddy was good Christians, because grandma put her hand on me and prayed for me, and just because I grew up in this church or that church, I tell you, until you can say that you've had a time that you've come face to face and you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, that I know that I'm not going to make it without you. Will you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? Trusting and believing Him, not just what we know and knowledge and being able to quote verses of the Bible. See, what they did is found a biblical answer, but didn't apply it to their lives. They knew the scripture. That's why James says, be not hearers only, but be you doers of the word. See, I can hear it, I can read it, I can study, I can no matter what. But until I carry it and act upon it and carry it out in my life, I'm going to come up short. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll not only read my word, but you'll apply it to your life. When the scripture, certain things the scripture says, I think what it is, we come and if we could, we'd, now nobody would do this, but we'd like to rip that page out. See what happens? Why is it we don't read the Bible that much? Because when we do, I guarantee you spend 30 minutes in the Word, you'll spend the next 30 on your face before God. Because it pierces, dividing asunder right down to the, right between the bones, right to the intent of the heart. And we find out who we are before God. And we find out that, boy, we're not much when we get to digging in the Word of God. And that's why it's so important. See, I kind of like that. I kind of like getting my shoes scuffed, don't you? But we don't want to read it because we get convicted, because we really don't want to live like the Word says to live. And it's not that we have to do these things to get to heaven. He said all you got to do is believe and trust God. I mean, when you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. And I mean, there's been a lot of people, we put a lot of additives to it, don't we? We like to add to it. But that's not what gets you heaven, but that's what gives you joy. That's where the peace comes. That's where when we trust the Lord and we apply God's word to our lives, we stand before Him as obedient children. I tell you, when I stand before God, I want to stand, I'll be judged as what I did as a pastor, but I want to stand before God and I want Him to say, you've been an obedient child. You've been a pretty good boy. You had your times, but you was obedient and you tried to follow me and you did the best you could do. Whew. Enter in, thou good. Man, those words rung out. Where's little Sam? I tell you, did he not do the best job sitting on that throne? There wasn't no nonsense about it. I believe that's the way it's going to be. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I'm going to make you ruler over many. Boy, that, do you long to hear that this morning? I don't want to hear it, Tim. Why did you tear that page out of your Bible? Amen? Well, I didn't tear it out, Lord. No, but you skipped over it. You kept reading John 3:16. You didn't want to go to the other. You didn't want to go to the duty part. See, we can know the Christmas story and still be lost. Wow. And I want to go a step further before I move on. And there's something that the Bible talks about and is pretty plain about. Knowledge brings on responsibility. The more you know, the more you're going to be held accountable for. That's why we keep Bibles closed, ain't it? We don't want to know that much. But if it's available, it's knowledge. And we, as living in the Bible Belt, in the buckle of it, and the knowledge, most of us had the same problem I had when I was growing up, had a drug problem. I got drugged to church every time doors was open. I was in church tonight. this morning, tonight, Wednesday night. If it was a revival, I was there. If it was a song revival somewhere, I was there. Singings, no matter what it was, there wasn't no question, there wasn't no nothing. I was in church. And a lot of times it was like this, but I went. And I knew at a young age that Jesus died for me. And the only hope that I ever had of getting to heaven was through Him. And I was around some godly, godly people. And I was taught a lot of things at a young age that probably a lot never did experience. But I experienced a lot of things at a young age, and I knew that it was real. I knew that God healed people. I knew that it was more than just coming to church. I knew that it was a relationship, and it was tied in together. And it was not just so I could look good going to church, because we were so poor I couldn't wear good clothes to church. I never will forget, I embarrassed my brother so bad one time. He came to my mom and he said, "Mama, go get Timmy and quiet him down." Said he's back there telling this guy that his suit come from a secondhand store. I thought that was the name of the store. I was proud of it. But I knew when you got there. I can remember to this day, and I'm going to tell you the first prayers that I started praying when I came here. I remember this day when visiting preachers and visiting singers would come to the church, and they'd get up and they'd say, "I felt the Holy Ghost when I come that back door back there." See, there was four or five ladies that laid on that altar of that church when I was a little boy, and Mama drugged me there too. And they prayed week after day after day, week after week. And when people came to the church, they felt the power of God. And when I came to pastor here, I said, "Lord, all I ask is when the visitor comes, that they feel your presence when they come through the door. I want people to feel God, feel his presence, and feel welcome." See, the Holy Spirit will welcome you. He might convict you before you leave, but he'll welcome you in. They knew the location, but not the Lord. They knew the Scriptures, but not the Savior. And they knew Christ would rule, but would not let him rule them. In verse 6, it says, "In the land of Judah art not thou least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." See, years and years before, Micah had penned down that there was a Savior coming in his name, and his name is Jesus. "A governor shall rule my people Israel." Now I want to, and we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but I want to get your mind thinking. Now, things that was unfolding before these people right then, all the prophecy of all the years in the Old Testament was being fulfilled right before their eyes. I mean, angels was coming and filling the skies and talking to people and coming to them in dreams. And the taxing. And then the people had to go to Bethlehem. Just so happened everybody, Mary and Joseph, wound up at Bethlehem when Jesus was going to be born. This a couple hundred years before it, Mike said it's where he's going to be born. And you see, all of these things was happening. What an exciting time to be a part of that. See, these real, educated, smart, studied up, snubbed their nose at Jesus. Some old shepherds out in the field. Run off, left their flock there, and went running to Bethlehem. Amen. What a time. What an exciting time that it was to be an Israelite. What an exciting time it is to be a Christian. Wow. You imagine the prophecy that's been fulfilled. Israel's become a nation. And they're flourishing. There, so I read a thing about how many trees was there, and all how things, and these prophecy goes right back. It tells all of these things that would happen, and Israel's become a nation, and all everything has fell right into place. Times, if you look and study prophecies being fulfilled, you can now you can read the newspaper, and looks like sounds like you're leading through the Book of Revelation. I mean, it's unfolding right before our eyes. We see things happening. Wow! Praise the Lord. What an exciting time to be a Christian. We might be called the Joshua generation. We might be the ones that when He's going to split the eastern sky. It could happen any minute. I can't think of a thing that has to happen before He comes. Do you, Brother Harold? It can happen any minute. There's something that's got to happen. One time, sometime in the future, might be happening right now, somewhere, the last person is going to hear the gospel and get saved, and then God's going to go get my church. That message may be even preached somewhere right now. Well, you never know. That is all. When the gospel in Matthew 24, when the whole world, when the gospel has been preached, can I get off on a little rabbit trail? I don't do this much. I'm going to get off on one just a minute. I got notes so I can jump right back in where I was. That is why it's so important of our children that we're raising and we're training. What if, the Bible said in Matthew 24 that when the world, and really, I believe what it's saying, when every people group, when everybody has heard the gospel, that He's going to come. It might be a missionary that takes them there. It might be a missionary in our church. And you know probably one it is. Johnny, get down off of that light. I told you 10 times, don't do that no more. Amen? Because God just uses people like that for some reason. Look at me, right, Rhonda? And Rhonda said, I said, can I come and sit with you while you're in the singing? And she said, if you promise to be good. And I said, I better go back over there. Somebody is going to lead that person. That somebody may be in our youth group. We need to really work hard and train them like they need to be trained. If you've got a child at home, they need to be in the house of God so they can get trained. They may be that missionary. They may be that preacher. They may be that worker that's going to be in another country or maybe in the United States and lead that last person to the Lord when He says, go get my children. See, what an exciting time. All of this prophecy has been fulfilled. And these wise men quoted the Bible, but did not act on its message. To me, some of the saddest things that I think back, can you imagine when these guys stand before God? Give an account of all that they had been entrusted with, and they would not accept the Savior. They just could not get over it being Jesus. See, they had in their mind exactly who it was going to be and how that it was going to come, and He was going to come in as a big, mighty man of war, and He is going to overthrow the Romans, and He is going to set His kingdom up, and He was going to be a big, robust man and going to be real handsome and going to have all of this pop and all of this stuff going on, and they just had in their mind, and when He come riding in on a donkey, He was born in a manger. And mom and daddy sure didn't have much. You can look at their sacrifices they took there in Luke. And they said, no, we can't. No, I can't accept this. And you know, so many people sits in their services and has been brought up in church and maybe don't come to church. And they say, no, that sounds good, but maybe later. What was it Agrippa told? Paul said, thou almost persuadest me. Maybe we'll hear you again sometime. Maybe we'll talk a little later, but come close. But and see, that is so many folks, and I've said this, and I believe it with all my heart. I believe that procrastination will send more people to hell than anything. Well, I'll wait a little later, preacher. Not tonight, preacher. Not right now. I've had you have no idea how many times I've been told that. I said, is the Lord dealing with you? Would you like to be saved today? Not today. I'll wait. If you've never heard God's three deadlines, J. Harold Smith, write that down. Google it. Thank God we can Google this stuff. Listen to that message. And the person he personally was in contact with it said, preacher, not tonight. No, not tonight. They send away their days of grace, I think was one of the points that he used. They send away their days of grace. They said, no, God, not tonight. Not today. It sounds good, but not. And that's what these guys, they said, well, boy, this all sounds good, and I wish that we could believe that, but he is not what I expected him to be, and I cannot accept him as my Savior. Isaiah the prophet said he sure wasn't good to look on. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So many things, and they just couldn't get over it. See, there's things today that people can't get over. You know one of the biggest things people can't get over? They like to think that there's many ways that they can get to heaven. Everybody wants to believe, well, and even some that's supposed to know what they're talking about, and I won't mention no names, I'll leave it right there. They said Jesus is a way. There's many ways, but he's a way. No, he is the way. He is the only way. And I'll tell you, if you're under my voice this morning and you've never called upon him and you stand before him in your dead in your trespass and sins, he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Little Sam done a good job in that part too. But finishing up... And we look at this and we think, and why did these guys not haul off and go to Bethlehem? They knew where he was going to be born. There were some guys from all the way across the world. I tell you, they say that probably the Magi came from Persia, Babylon, in that area. And they knew about more about the Lord than the scribes did. The religious people. Where did they get their knowledge? I think that God directed them and showed them. But if they come from Persia, do you know who was in Persia? Daniel? The three Hebrew children? Lo and behold, they had a queen that was a Jew, Esther. They had heard about the Savior in a foreign land. Boy, ain't God good. Glory, hallelujah. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, they was closer to the Scripture than the scribes was. You know the difference was? They was around somebody that believed it and lived it. When you see somebody living their life in a bad world and shining, there's just something about that that you want to be like that person. Never will forget the preacher that I was working around when I got saved. I'd go out my way to see him of a mornings. He's a lot older than me, a lot worse health. I'd say, how are you this morning, Donnie? He'd say, you know, I'm great. I'm saved on my way to heaven. Never will forget this phrase. He said, if I was any better, it'd have to be twins. He's in heaven now. Talking to him, just those words, got me going home at night digging in the Bible. I got to digging, and I got to praying. One day I went back and I got talking to him. He said, it sounds to me like you're about there. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going back where I need to be. And I didn't get to see him after that job, but I'm going to tell you. After about 1 million years praising Jesus, me and Donnie's going to have a spell. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, somebody, my mom... sure didn't. When I graduated, she went back and got her GED. I think it kind of embarrassed her. She was not educated. I'm going to tell you one thing. I sure heard the Bible. I sure got it. Her interpretation of it. Wow. And I knew it was real. I knew things was real. And I want to, Law, I know I'm going on, but I want to share with you this morning before we go, just because you might say, I've never been to school. I don't know much about anything, and I don't want to get into no conversation. All you got to do, and listen to me, tell people what God's done for you. The woman at the well, she left immediately. Left her water pot. That'd be about like us leaving our car. She left her water pots and run and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever know. And the city came in droves to the Lord. He didn't take her aside and say, now I need to teach you how to be a witness. She just went and said what God had done for her. Wow. Are you telling people what God's done for you? Praise the Lord. See, they didn't hurry. They might lose favor with Herod. Or the big one, and that they probably fell back into the old routines. Now, here in a week or so, within a week, a little over a week, we're going to make some resolutions. We're going to eat less. Work out more. Amen. And 2 weeks into the year, pass the chips and popcorn. We fall back into those ruts, don't we? You know, that could have happened, what happened to them. But it wasn't popular. I think one of the biggest things, it wasn't popular. Going and running after a guy born in a stable. No, thank you. Going and committing everything over to Jesus in this day and time. No, thank you. I'm good. We're comfortable. We got everything we need. God's blessed us too much. We're spoiled. We think we don't even need him. It ain't popular. It ain't. You go to use the name of Jesus, you're going to get in a whole heap of trouble. People's going to turn you off real quick. Some jobs you might even get fired from. But he is the answer. If you're here this morning with a problem, he is the answer. I can guarantee you that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day.